Blog Talk Radio.
Of the Before You Go Pro locker room. I am so excited to bring you guys into the locker room tonight. We have another great guest on the show, and Mr. Ben Kelly is somebody that I look at as somewhat of an older brother, somebody that kind of helped bring me under his wing, somebody that was definitely a major talent in college football, somebody that was an All-American at the University of Colorado and went on to be a third-round draft choice in the NFL, and is going to let the kids know about the business of football tonight. So I think we have Mr. Kelly on with us. Are you on with us, BK?
I'm right here.
All right, perfect. So appreciate you coming on, man. I know you're in Cleveland on the East Coast, and you got a three-hour time difference, so I appreciate you coming on so late at night.
Absolutely. I appreciate you talking to me.
All right, man. Oh, no problem, man. The kids are excited, and the parents are excited, and we got a lot to talk about tonight. So we got about a 30-40 minute show, so I want to get right to it. Obviously, somebody that I care about, somebody that I learned a lot from. And let's get started with where you're from. So all the people that don't know you, where you're originally from.
Like you just mentioned earlier, I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio. Born and raised. I was here my whole life until the first time I left the state was when I came out to Colorado for college, so at 17.
Wow. So as far as growing up in Cleveland, did you play Little League football or did you start football in high school? When did you start playing ball?
Well, with football, I actually started when I first started at 7. I started with my older brother. He's about a year and a half older than me. We started the same year. So I was 7 going on 9. I mean, going on 8. My older brother was 9. And we just started from there. I was the littlest, youngest thing out there. I was just trying to have fun with my big brother. I was at the time. I really didn't know what I was doing at the time. But I enjoyed it. I fell in love with it. I was basically just trying to, at that time, I was just trying to do everything my big brother was doing and just followed him around.
Definitely. I mean, it's always good to have somebody kind of pulling you along and teaching you the ropes. Would you say that your big brother was the person that pushed you and kind of guided you in the right direction?
My big brother was more of a, that was like my challenge at that time. He was the one that was always, big brothers pick on the little brother. So as the little brother, I was just always trying to outwork him, outdo him in anything, whether it was football, whether we was playing backyard, baseball, Nintendo, whatever. The one I really looked at, my father, he was really the one that was kind of guided me all the way from as long as I can remember, as far as, and that was just in life in general, but specifically as it relates to football, he was our coach at that time. So we got it, you know, at practice, we got it at home, we got it, we was in the backyard, full pads, doing one-on-one drills and tackling drills with each other,
you know,
the whole time. So.
Wow. So a coach's son, huh?
Mm-hmm. Football, basketball, baseball, all of them.
Oh, wow. And talk to me a little bit about Cleveland, Ohio, because a lot of the kids that listen to our shows are from West Coast. We got a few kids from down south in Texas. But talk to me a little bit about Ohio. What's your opinion about Ohio football and the talent coming out of Ohio?
The thing about Ohio, Ohio's a football-obsessed state. Okay, we got it's one of the smaller states as far as size, but football. I mean, you have the first of all, you got the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. You got one of the biggest universities with one of the most tradition in the country in Ohio State, right in Columbus. You got two. For a small state to have two professional football teams, and Cleveland and Cincinnati, and the high school football is huge out here. They get more press and more media coverage than anything. You know, Friday night looks like it's like a sports center for the high school football. They travel around the games, so many games on TV. So football is like it's like huge out here because it's like the main sport. It's everybody kind of plays it. It's a whole weekend type of thing. You go from, Friday night high school, Saturday night college, Sundays with the pro games. And also it's a lot of the smaller colleges too. It's not just Ohio State. You have a bunch of the smaller colleges like Mount Union, for instance, is a D3 school. They like a D3 dynasty. They like win the national championship. I don't know how many times. I want to say they've probably won at least in the last 15 years, probably about 10 or 12 of the national championships at the D3 level, producing pro players. John Carroll's another big one. Like you hear a lot about London Fletcher, how he went there. It's another D3 school. So it's a lot of the smaller colleges you don't hear too much about on the national level out here that are, it's like pipelines for all these high school athletes looking to play ball.
Wow. And, we always talk to the kids about, those bell cow states where all the top talent is coming out of, and Ohio is definitely up there at the top. And we definitely know about Ohio State, just a couple games away from playing in the national championship. But talk to me about high school. So you were growing up with your brother, and your dad was a coach kind of guiding you in the right direction. What high school did you end up going to?
That's the thing. I ended up going to, like, three different high schools just because of the the family situation at the time. But I ended up finishing graduating from Lake Catholic High School. It's in Lake County. It's just on the east side of Cleveland. And it's a, what you want to call this? Out here in Ohio, it's, at the time when I was in high school, the private and Catholic schools were like the athletic type schools, like where a lot of they had the athletic funding. They had a lot of sometimes they had different scholarship opportunities for, the kids that didn't live in the area or whatever, people that needed help or whatever. So I ended up going there my junior, senior year, and it was one of the best decisions. That was kind of, spearheaded by my father. He had the foresight to say, look, if you're going to take this to the next level, if it's something you really want to do, you want to focus on, you want to take it to the college level, you want to get into a program where not only on the field, but you're going to get the academic backing that you need to be on a level to even compete academically in college.
Good point. So you knew at a young age that you wanted to play at the next level?
Oh, yeah. I knew from a very young age that I didn't know at the time which one, because I was doing all sports at the time. I was doing football, basketball, baseball, track. So I thought I was, I think I'm nice at everything. So, eventually as I got older, though, you start – realizing you might not be at a basketball, for instance, I was all right, but I'm not on the level where I'm going to play ball in college or definitely not a pro prospect. Baseball got kind of, you know, kind of boring for me. I love baseball. It just started getting too, and it started cutting into my track season because those came at the same time. So I kind of ended up having to pick one as I got deeper into high school. And I don't know, just football was just, it came more naturally for me. It just was, my mentality was more geared towards football. And it was just something that I felt that I could take at a higher level. And I was able to do bigger things on the field that I wasn't able to. I was just another guy in other stuff, in the other sports.
Gotcha. And that was something I wanted to ask you, because a lot of kids nowadays, I don't know how familiar you are with a lot of the recruits coming out now, but the football game has gotten to the point where all these kids are specializing, and they're doing year-round stuff, whether it's 7-on-7 tournaments, these camps and combines. In your opinion, do you think kids should stick to one sport or play multiple sports in high school?
I think that, I don't like that specialization at that age. I never specialized in anything until I actually, even though I was in college, I ran track too. So it was, I don't like to be able to, especially at that age, you want to get out and do as many different things as possible. If you put all your eggs in one basket athletically, anything can happen. I mean, you can have anything go wrong. Also, when you're in different sports and doing different activities, you're meeting so many different people. You're meeting a wider range of people that you would never otherwise meet. If you're just saying you're strictly football, you're not going to do baseball, you're not going to do basketball, you're not going to run track, you're not going to do anything, you're going to be with the same group every single year, you know, growing up. You're never going to be around any kind of, even for just socialization purposes, you know. You want to socialize with different people. You want to get to know people, make connections with people you wouldn't otherwise meet. So I don't think it's, you know, there's a lot of guys who play a sport for 1 year, 2 years, and that ends up being their sport. You got guys who never even played football, and they're playing in the NFL. You got Jimmy Graham, I mean, Antonio Gates. I mean, you got guys, they never even played football. And they play football now. So it's like you got to take advantage of it. I think kids should always just, you know, widen, broaden their horizons, get to meet different people. Yeah, you're just going to open up doors and open up windows that you may not ever use. You might use when you're 30 years old and you run into a guy you played Little League baseball with, you know, back in sixth grade. Man, he may have an opportunity for you in the business world. He might have an opportunity for you in the, you know, when it's all said and done. You can call him after college and, you know, look, I remember you. We played ball together in basketball, AAU, back in eighth grade. And so it just gives
point.
You a broader range of people that you can just connections.
Great point. As far as when you were playing in high school, was there a particular moment or was there a particular year where you really realized, hey, I could make it and play at a big-time level of college?
I kind of always felt I could. It was just a matter of having an opportunity in which to show. Like I said, I was bounced around different schools. So really my biggest moment in high school where I was actually out able to get some attention was probably, it wasn't even during school. It was in my father sent me to a football camp at the University of Michigan the summer between my junior and senior year. And I went out there. There was a bunch of scouts, the recruiters in there at that age, not scouts, but the recruiters from, you know, all this, big schools. That's actually where I met the Colorado coaches at that camp. So, and I really didn't have a big name because I was bouncing around at schools, different schools and stuff, so I wasn't really, you know, a known commodity at that time. But I went out there and a couple other guys at that camp. I remember Dwayne Goodrich from, you know, he ended up going to Tennessee. He was a second-round draft pick same year I was drafted.
Definitely.
He was at that camp too, so that's when we got to know each other. We was actually roommates in that camp, and I don't know, I just did really well at that camp and just started getting attention from there. And then my senior year just kind of piggybacked off of that because I had a little momentum, and I was still doing the same things. It was just I had the eyes on me at that point.
Definitely, definitely. So you recommend to the kids, if maybe they're a little under the radar, to try to go to some of the camps?
Yeah, you got to put yourself out there. Like, if you're not going to get the – and in some schools, if they might run a system that doesn't really feature, you know, you to like, my best thing, my best thing was I was a return man all the time. I never returned a kick or a punt in high school.
Are you serious?
Never did. Never returned kicks and punts in high school. You know, so – and it's just saying that's just how sometimes it depends what school you're at. Like, sometimes you'll be featured, sometimes you won't be featured. So, yeah, those camps I think are huge because you're not there with a team. You're there on your own, so you can get judged on your own from people outside of your high school who are, you know, a lot of times at your high school, they got you pegged in from the time you're in, you know, a freshman, and you're going to play this position all the way through. They got their running back set. They got the quarterback set. This is who's going to play here and here. So a lot of times you don't get a chance to, you know, really go out and show what you really can do. So I recommend those camps. Those are huge. You get to go up against in front of a bunch of coaches, a lot of recruiting coordinators be at those camps from all kinds of schools. It's not just like the big schools, because I was at the Michigan camp, which is a big school, but they had all the little D2, D3 schools, NAIA schools, junior colleges. So there's a lot of eyes there, and there's a lot of people that are always looking, they're always charting. So they all know who the kids are that they are. It's not all about the ESPN top 100 recruits and all of that kind of stuff. Everybody gets a chance somewhere.
Definitely. And so obviously you had a great senior year, and then it came time to make a college decision. And obviously we're super glad that you chose the University of Colorado. What other choices did you have at the time?
At the time, when I committed to Colorado, I had been to Syracuse before that. I had been to Eastern Michigan. And then Colorado was my third trip I went on. I don't know if they still have that five-trip rule now. Do they have that now?
Yeah.
The five-trip rule back when I was in there. So then after that, I actually committed to Colorado on my trip. And after I committed to Colorado, it was funny, then Ohio State and Michigan invited me to come on the trips there. They didn't want me to go out to Colorado. Right. And
it works that way sometimes.
Right. And I was at Michigan's camp that summer, so they know who I was. And Ohio State, I mean, I'm right down the street, so I was thinking, you know, I talked to my dad about it because he was, you know, he was the one I was leaning on with all those kind of decisions. And, you know, growing up, growing up in Ohio, you're an Ohio State guy. You hate Michigan, but there were some Cleveland guys that went to Michigan, like Desmond Howard, Elvis Gerbach, and those type of guys. So that was kind of on the radar, too. And it would have been flattering to go there. And I think maybe if they came before Colorado, I might have went a different direction. But they came after the fact, and I was kind of loyal to the Colorado, because the Colorado people were there, like Bobby Houck and Eli's, one of those guys, you know, when nobody else was really coming after me. So I was loyal to them, and I was like, I'm here. So that's kind of how that played out.
Was there anything that you saw on the trip, or was it anything that the coaches from Colorado were talking to you about that made you say, this is the place for me?
To be honest with you, at that age, I was looking for I was looking to get somewhere where I could make a name, if that makes any sense. Not to, and I was, at the time I was at Colorado, I was comparing Colorado to Syracuse and Eastern Michigan. Eastern Michigan at the time, well, they still are. They play in the MAC, which is a smaller conference, a lot of, you know, Midwestern schools in Ohio, Michigan, Indiana. And Syracuse, they were like a bubble team in the Big East. They had, you know, they had Donovan McNabb at the time, who was a really good player. Kevin Johnson, a couple of good receivers. The thing about Syracuse I just didn't like was it was so close to home. Like, everybody could have just drove up there. Actually, on my trip, we drove up there. So, and I kind of wanted to see something different. I wanted to get far away. Well, I went to Colorado's campus. So we flew in. And you could probably attest to this, too, your first time being there. It's just like a world you've never seen, especially with somebody coming from Cleveland. Well, you're from California, yeah. San Francisco, so you've seen kind of things like that before. But coming from Cleveland, Ohio, I mean, you don't see, you know, it being 80 degrees, but then you look up and the snow caps on the mountains and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's just a beautiful thing, like, that I've never experienced before. And it was just like, man, I have got to get some more with this. And the coaching staff that was there when I came in, and the players that were there that I, you know, got to know, the other recruits and all that kind of stuff. When we got to talk, and it was just like more of a family type atmosphere there. It was everybody was kind of looking out for everybody. I don't know how many times Bobby Howe came out to Cleveland and was in my living room when I got home from school. So
nice.
It just,
so do you,
you know,
feel like
a,
for some kids that are considering different schools right now that may be listening to you, just to kind of go with your gut instinct on where you lay your hat?
Well, you got to have an idea of what you want. I think a lot of times kids get caught up into, I want to be close to home so mom and dad can drive to the game, or it's an easy trip for them, which is all admirable and everything. But at the end of the day, this is your transition into being a man. Well, my dad told me at that age, he was like, listen, you can always come back home. You're not going to have that many opportunities to get out and experience something nobody else around here ever has. So I took that and I said that, yeah, okay, you know what, I know it's far away. I know I'm going to be far away from my family. They're not going to be able to get in the car and be there in an hour or two if I need something. So it kind of forced me to, you know, find a way. And it forced you to grow up and find a way to get things done without relying on mom and dad. And with that being the case, I mean, you gravitate towards, you know, a lot of your teammates, you meet classmates, you with coaches, but bottom line, you grow up and you're not you're out the nest now, so you got to kind of fend for yourself as much as you can, and it, you know, force you to grow up, be a man.
Definitely. So talk to me, you arrive in Boulder, Colorado, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed freshman. Did you feel like you belonged when you first got on campus, or did you think it was a little too big for you?
Well, what I did, I actually came real early. I came a couple weeks after I graduated high school. Right after my graduation, I was out in Colorado. I wasn't, at the time, I wasn't enrolled in school yet, so I was just, I was living with Ron Merkerson. You remember Ron?
Yeah, I remember Ron.
I stayed with Merck and Hannibal Navies. Me and Rashidi Barnes, we crashed at their apartment that whole summer. And, no, we had no idea what we was doing. We weren't in class. They had class. They had workouts. We'd go to the workouts and stuff, but they had class. They had, like, little summer jobs. So most of the time we spent in the apartment just kind of, I think we was playing video games against each other most of the time. But we didn't have cars. We didn't have, you know, this was before cell phones, so we didn't have cell phones and all that. So we was really just sitting in the apartment, you know, hanging with each other, just talking, getting to know each other, talk about what we gonna do, things like that. And then when the older guys would come back, they take us around with them, kind of show us around campus, show us around the city and things like that. We'd get out, do the workouts and do the, 7-on-7s, 1-on-1s, all that kind of stuff. So that kind of got us acclimated to in front of some of the other freshmen that didn't come until actually summer camp. So we got to know a lot of the guys, got the older guys, and the first couple of days, the first couple of days you feel like you are, you're not ready because these guys are, they're a little more advanced. They're strong. They're a lot stronger. They're physically stronger. They're faster. They push you around. And you got to, you quickly realize that you got to get stronger. You got to get faster. You have to get physically in line to be able to compete with these guys. But that's what you do. It never got to a point where, I'm never going to be able to do this. It's got to the point where I got to step my game up.
No, good point, good point. You ended up redshirting your true freshman year. Do you feel like that was the right decision, or going back, do you think you'd rather play as a true freshman?
I mean, yeah, I would have rather. I hated that. I would have rather played. I was very disappointed. I was I was mad about it. I wanted to leave school, all that kind of stuff. But because there were some other freshmen that came in too, defensive backs as well, that didn't redshirt. Rashidi didn't redshirt. Rashidi Barnes, Wheeler, who was my roommate when we moved into the dorms, we played the exact same position. He didn't redshirt. I think Stiggers, Nunez, a couple other guys didn't even redshirt, and I was, redshirting. So I was kind of I don't know. I thought I was on the same level, if not, more advanced than those guys were at the time. But it kind of – my dad – I talked to my dad about it a lot because I was like, this ain't right. I need to be out there, blah, blah, blah. All I get to do, I just practice all week, and then when the game come, I don't even get to go to the game. So I was real, I was young. I was young. I was immature. I was just kind of just think the world is against me type of thing. And, but, my dad, he was like, listen, he was like, bottom line, you can get, you're not wasted on your eligibility. You can get, because I was, when I came in, I was about 155 pounds. I was a little fella. I never lifted weights or nothing like that. So I just got in there with Doc Kreese, and I got, I started getting stronger. I started putting on some weight, started getting better. I used to go up against the scout. I was on the scout team every day, so I was going against some unmentionables. And every day, pro first round draft picks, the next draft, every single day in practice. So that got to the point where I was getting dogged at first, but then as the season went on, I was like, I started getting a lot better. I started getting a lot better, and I started gaining a lot more confidence because I'm going against, professional, soon-to-be professional first-round draft picks every day in practice. So I thought I was getting better work than anybody else on the team at the time. So I just
and
had
that's,
so
that's
much
a great
confidence.
Point. No, that's a great point, Ben, because, I'm glad that you said you were a little frustrated in the beginning because some kids think that it's all apple pie, but it's not. There's some times where you got to kind of keep your chin up and toughen up and work a little harder. And I tell the kids that Colorado isn't today what it was when we were there. When we were there, the practice field was littered with guys that were about to get drafted and guys who were winning awards. And you were somebody that came back that redshirt freshman year with a flurry, man, and you ended up becoming the freshman of the year in the Big 12 and somebody that really, really was a superstar for the team. Talk to me about that first year and kind of that year working up to that first year. What do you think it was that got you on the field right away and got you making plays?
Where it started for me is after my redshirt year, like I said, I gained a lot of confidence just, you know, going against the players I was going against my redshirt year. And my biggest goal, and this was coming from, you know, I was talking to my father almost every day at that time because I was just, like, frustrated with everything. And I was, you know, young and immature, but I was just like, he was always like, listen, you got a spring game in the fall. You're going to get a chance to show what you can do. So get all of that out of your system. Get as good as you can. Challenge all these older guys that are, you know, not going to be there next year. And put yourself in a position where they have to put you on the field. So, I mean, I took that approach. I started, you know, I was in the gym all the time. I was in there with Doc. I was in there a couple times a day. I was in the best shape I ever been in, lifting weights for the first time. And I was just intent on, I had a chip on my shoulder. I just wanted to prove everybody wrong, like they made a mistake and I should have been out there. And so when the spring game finally came around, that was like my Super Bowl. I was like so hyped for that game. It was just an inner squad scrimmage at the end of the day. But I kept telling the coach, and that year we had two freshmen, I think Stiggers and Nunez, they were the kick returners and the punt returners. I'm like, I need to get out there. He need to give me a shot. I was on Bobby Houck all the time, who was a special teams coach at the time. I'm like, just give me a shot in the spring game. I mean, you already seen what they can do all year. I mean, they got a bunch of opportunities in the games. Just let me get one in the spring game. So he came up to me the morning. I didn't think he was going to let me do it. But the morning of the spring game, he was like, you know, we're trying to open the kickoff. So I did the opening kickoff, and I took it back to the house. And then on defense, the first series, I took a pick. I ran up, got a pick at the corner, and took that back a few yards. And from there, it was just on. Like, it was just, I just had a really good game. I made a bunch of plays. Had a little write-up in the paper and everything. So I was, like, on cloud nine after that.
But that's a great point for these kids that might not be getting their just due to never discount being good in practice and making plays in practice.
Oh, yeah. That's huge because that's what they say. And as I got older, and this is, you know, years later, but I was in New England with Belichick, and that's what he said all the time. He's like, you know, because sometimes people come to practice, oh, yeah, I'm not feeling too good today, blah, 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 my leg is sore, my hamstring's sore, my back is sore. And that's what he told everybody. He's like, if you are on film, if the film is rolling, we consider you 100%. So if you're on film, getting dogged at practice, we don't care if you got a twisted ankle. We don't care if your knee, a hamstring. We don't care what you got. If you're on film, that's when we judge it.
Wow.
Because we're going to look at the show again 2 weeks later. We're not going to remember what everybody's little ailment was each particular day. So that was, like, a big thing. And going back to how that relates to, you know, as a youngster in college, I mean, yeah, you got to practice hard. You have everything's on film. Everything. And that film never lies. That film can be drug up 2 weeks later, 2 years later. This is how this guy practices. This is how this guy competes. You're never going to get into a game. You're not going to get into a game to be able to show anything if you are getting dogged in practice and just putting it off as, that's just practice. If it was a game, I would have made that play. If it was a game, I would have didn't know. You're not going to get the opportunity if you don't do it in practice. You got to be able to show it. Because every night after practice, the whole coaching staff sits in those rooms for hours breaking down the film of that practice you just had.
Yeah.
They're not worried about what happened in school that day. They're not worried about if you broke up with a girlfriend. They're not worried about if you got issues back home. They're looking at strictly at what you did on the field that day. That's how their judgments are made.
I love it, love it. And just to give everybody listening some perspective of how he was so deep at kick return, his true or redshirt freshman year, 1997, he had a 31-yard kick return average. And I was actually looking up some stats today, and this year, the kick return leader in the NCAA was a guy you might be familiar with, especially out here on the West Coast, Ty Montgomery from Stanford, great player, and his average was 30.3. So even in today's time, Ben would have been number one as far as kickoff return average in the NCAA with a 31-yard kick return average, which is absolutely ridiculous. So you kind of got your feet wet with special teams and then started taking it to the next level on defense. Three-time All-Big 12 performer. That's a very, very rare list. As you guys know, Colorado is in the Pac-12 now, but when Ben was in school, it was the Big 12, and it was probably the best conference going, even over the SEC. So this is not shabby stuff by any means. Talk to me about 1999. You had an amazing year, 28-yard kickoff average, 5 interceptions, and you actually decided to leave early. You had one more year of eligibility, but you decided to go to the NFL early. What was your reasoning behind going to the NFL? What was did you feel like you were just ready? You wanted another challenge?
At that time, let me start off by saying, if I could probably go back in time, I might make a different decision at that point. At that time, I thought I was ready. I thought I was ready at that time, football-wise. I think I was definitely ready. The only feedback I got from this pro scouts and everything was a height thing. And I just looked at that, well, I'm not going to get any taller by next year anyway, so... It's going to be the same issue next year. Like if there was an issue about you need to work on your technique here and there or work on this or work on that, it was just everybody just had an issue with my height. And I took that as like, well, I'm not getting any taller anyway, so this is going to be the same issue next year. And what do? I was confident on the what I put out as far as my performance on the field and my versatility on the field. So, also, there was a, the between the my junior and sophomore year, we had a coaching change where the staff that I was with, from high school recruiting all the way through, was a Rick Neuheisel on his staff, and then Gary Barnett came in my last year. And there was a little bit of difference in philosophy as far as the defense, as far as just the team overall. And at that time, I wasn't really able to adjust to the change as well. I didn't take it as well because I think the system that we had before was a little more conducive to my skill set. And the new system, which obviously, and I got a lot of respect for Gary Barnett, he did a lot of great things over at Northwestern before he even came, and back in Colorado earlier when he was on McCartney's staff. But it just was not it was just an uncomfortability. It was like I was comfortable with, the staff that recruited me, the staff that I was, kind of grew up with and kind of learned the ropes with. And the reason I say now, I think I'm, hindsight being 2020, a different decision. I might have, stayed my last year, and that was just because I wasn't, as a man, maturity-wise, things off the field that didn't have anything to do with football, I wasn't ready to handle all of that.
Ooh, good point. So you feel like whether a kid is going from high school to college or from college to the pros, the off the field is a major contributor to being ready on the field?
Huge. It's huge because I mean, it's, I don't know what the percentages are, but I would say at least 75% of the time you're off the field.
Yeah.
You're only on the
point.
Field, you know, practice and meetings, and you know that's it's real world at that point. You're in a bubble when you're in high school and when you're in college. You're in a bubble when you're on a college campus. I mean, there's nobody on the campus out of your peers that everybody's between 18 and 22 pretty much. There's no, like, grown-ups. There's no, you know, there's no 10-year vets. There's no – everybody's pretty much in the same situation, away from home the first time. Everybody's just kind of trying to, you know, find out who they are at that point. And nobody really knows who they are and what they are at, you know, at those ages between 18 and 22. So you get a false sense of security, a false sense of what life is about off the field. You get caught up in the football, and if you're doing well and you're getting attention and you're getting, you know, pro consideration and things like that, that doesn't really translate to real life. That's not like a real life thing that you actually have to deal with later on.
I gotcha. And we're coming up a little bit short on time. You know, this is some great stuff that you're giving us, and I'm sure the kids are getting a lot out of it. We have roughly about 3 minutes left here, Ben. So we'll want to bring you back into the locker room, if that's okay, so we can finish this up. But I want to get to once you got drafted by the Miami Dolphins in the third round, what did you see from some of the vets, the Sam Madisons, the Patrick Surtains? You mentioned even when you were with New England, the Belichicks and the Tom Brady's of the world. What's the difference between the fringe player and the guy who is a Pro Bowler?
The biggest difference is there's two main differences. The first difference is the attention to detail as far as – because at that level, I don't care if you're a first-round pick or you're the last free agent signed as a free agent rookie. Everybody can play. Everybody's big, fast, strong, has made plays. To even get to that level, you have done something to garner some attention. Now, the attention to detail and the intensity in which you go after that attention to detail. So if you watch something on film, you have to take that. That next time you go back on the field, so if you watch something on film today, you have to implement mm-hmm. that tomorrow. If you struggle with that too much, like if you're supposed to have an inside technique on a certain coverage, if you're a defensive back, and that's gone over today, if you go out there tomorrow and that's not fixed, there's somebody else waiting. And there's somebody else waiting to wait for you to mess that up multiple times because they're going to step in and they're going to do it right. And they're just as athletically gifted as you are. I mean, just as, you know, they were the best players wherever they came from. So the attention to detail and the intensity at which you attack it is huge. It's no free rides. Nobody's really a – you don't get a free pass. It doesn't matter if you're a first-round pick, second-round pick, free agent. Because those coaches, they're under contracts, too, and if they don't produce, they don't win, they're out of job just as quick as a player is. So they don't have time to waste on developing talent and developing potential, because potential gets coaches fired. Second thing
I heard that.
Is the second thing about but that's different about the professional ball. You're kind of isolated, okay? When I say isolated, you got seven rounds in a draft if a team has all their draft picks, okay? So you're coming in with seven guys.
We got about 15 seconds, DK, and I'm so sorry, man.
Okay.
But this is so good, and I know there's so much that we didn't get to touch on, so we'll definitely have you back in the locker room, man. And I just wish you the best, okay?
Absolutely. Anytime. Let me know.
All right. All right, boss. We'll talk to you.
All right, buddy.